This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success.
When we found out that you actually here, we didn't want to hesitate whatsoever. We took on the opportunity to actually kind of like have you on our podcast as well. So welcome, sir.
I always credit people for showing up, and it's amazing what happens when you show up. A lot of people, they have attention to what they want, but they fail at giving it the intention. They're actually doing, saying, thinking, feeling, and believing the coincidences, the consequences, the results, the outcomes in their life that they want. And then they utilize the fact that they only go the extra mile every once in a while to justify why they're not where they're at or they didn't get the interview, where it's people like you that I love to confirm the truth, which is pay attention and give intention to what you want.
Awesome, awesome. And for those viewers that don't know you, just like a
which
brief,
is most.
You'd be surprised, many people do know you. So for those that don't know you, if we were to give like a brief story or overview of yourself from the period between law school and when you actually went into tech as well, like just a brief overview of yourself.
It's really simple. It was a journey of three worlds. When I graduated law school, I lived in the world of not enough. I grew up with nothing. I had $100,000 of law loans, and I took a chance instead of being a real lawyer to sell legal research. And in 9 months, I lived my dream, which was to buy my mom a house and a car. I made $1 million out of law school in a place where nobody thought I would, selling in 1992 internet.
I was born that year.
Yeah, very good. Thanks for aging me. And 3 years later, we exited for $3.4 billion at Thomson Reuters. And then I took my journey up to the Silicon Valley, where I learned how to raise money, and then became CEO of Samsung's first phone division called the PCE phone, the world's first convergence device, which was later known as a smartphone. It was a Windows CE device. And then I got hired, totally outside of my expertise, by the world's most notable sports agent, Lee Steinberg. And the reason he hired me wasn't just because I was a lawyer and I love sports, like everyone thinks you need to be a sports agent. It was he saw the future of sports in venture and technology. And I was the only one at that high of a level to have that type of experience. So I went from the world of not enough to the world that so many entrepreneurs live in, successful and unsuccessful. It's called the world of just enough. They think they're an optimist because they live in a world of just for me, enough for me. They give to receive. Everything in their life is competitive, a comparison. They live in a world of just enough for me, buying everything that they think they want or need to impress people they don't like. And through my journey, I made over $100 million. Until the day came when my wife was the final straw of telling me I was lost. She told me that she was leaving me. She wasn't happy. I was running the most notable agency in the world. So not only was I a multi-millionaire, but I had access to what billionaires couldn't afford to have access to. And on that day, I was told by my wife that she wasn't happy and she was leaving me, that she was worried I would die. And at first I was angry, like I was at my mom, my dad, and my best friend for telling me the truth, that I was lost, and I was believing all the people that were using me, not the people that loved me. And I took stock in who I was the next day, and I started my journey. I ended up losing everything, over $100 million. I started my journey on gratitude, forgiveness, accountability, and effective communication, the four foundational values my mom had taught me and inspired me to live by. And here I am 17 years later, after losing everything, to have everything I ever wanted back, more money, more happiness, more health, and more wealth than I ever imagined. And now I'm on a mission to teach others how to do the same.
I actually get one of the most inspirational stories I've ever heard of you is the fact that not only did you have $100 million, but it's the fact that you lost it and then you regained it back. And I think the comeback story is something that's very inspiring for most people. And speaking of that, what was that one specific characteristic that you feel like that you possessed that helped you to try and get back on your feet and actually accomplish and overcome that specific hurdle that was that you were facing too?
That's a great question. It's an important question because, as you know, I've done thousands of interviews, not only myself, but with my TV shows, movies, my digital shows, which are in the thousands. There's one common denominator that I realized that I have of all passionate, purposeful, and profitable people. Whether you're a billionaire, millionaire, entrepreneur, celebrity, athlete, or entertainer, mm-hmm. that common denominator I think I was born with, it's a desire that I must be what I can be. That's it. I have a desire that I must be what I can be, so I'm always going to enjoy the consistent everyday, persistent without quit, wow. pursuit of my potential.
Powerful. That's absolutely powerful. Another story that I loved personally for myself, so I'm in the solar space.
Good thing you're here. SolarCon.
Exactly. And so there's a variety of resources that are given to us that you probably never had in terms of training and so forth as well. However, the potential for income is exponentially higher than most specific industries as well, just from knocking doors. Now, the question I want to ask you is, you made your first $1 million just 9 months after being in law school. What would you say would be those specific steps or blueprint that could help the next entrepreneur make that specific level of income as well, specifically with what we have right now?
Well, number one, ask for help. Find someone in your industry, career, or job that's already there and ask them for directions. They've already paid the dummy tax. Two, understand the power of 64. And the power of 64 is the power of production. Mm-hmm. And when I say that, is if you're young and starting out, the average person is going to work or sell for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. So already you know the limitation of the productivity is limited to 40 hours. Mm-hmm. And so I decided that I was going to expand that to 16 hours a day of selling, 7 days a week.
16 hours.
16 hours a day of selling, 7 days a week. Then I decided what other characteristics or dependent variables evolve around productivity, because I knew that I wasn't experienced at selling. I knew that I didn't have a huge customer base. I didn't have people referring me. Mm-hmm. So how was I going to be better than the 40 hours of productivity of the normal person that had all the advantages of experience and relationships that I didn't have? Mm-hmm. One, I was gonna ask for help, so I was gonna leverage all that experience and relationship by asking the people that were already there for help. But two, I was going to outproduce them by spending twice as many hours and then trying to be twice as efficient with those hours. Mm-hmm. That would take the 16 hours a day, 7 days a week, and turn it into 32 hours of productivity, 7 days a week. Then I was gonna practice to get better, to be a professional at what I did, and those 32 hours became 64 hours. So every single 8 hours that a normal salesperson was spending, I was getting this productivity of 64 hours. 8 times as much productivity, 7 days a week. That was 56 days of productivity every week, where other people were getting 5 days of productivity. I was getting 56 days of productivity, over 11 times the productivity every single week. So in 9 months, when I blew out my comp plan, which was $250,000 a year, which is why I took the job, because all I cared about was making money to buy my mom a house and a car. When I took that job and they gave me all these awards and accolades, as you know they do in solar and every other industry for selling, precisely. The trips and the money and the bonus and the fame, you know, the bullshit that they give you, I was laughing at my vice president because I was only 24 years old. I had just turned 25. And he's like, "It's remarkable. We got to change the comp plan because we never imagined someone could sell as much as you."
That's true.
And I was like, "Well, that's how you, another lesson in sales. So that's how you're going to reward me? Change my comp plan?" But more importantly, I laughed at him. He's like, "What are you smirking at?" I said, "Well, I didn't hit my number." He said, "Dave, your number was $250,000. You made over $1 million in 9 months. What do you mean you didn't hit your number?" I said, "Well, to be honest, right, I hit $1 million in 11 years. And he's like, "11 years? You've only been here a year." I go, no, in productivity.
Wow.
Right? I utilize time. So ask for help. Use the power of 64. I'll send it to you for free in my book, by the way. Email me, david@dmeltzer.com. It teaches you how to use the power of 64 and ask for help, guaranteed to make you a lot of money, help you help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun, be happy.
And the link will also be in the description section, by the way, so we'll put that inside there. Another strategy that I like that you talk a lot about, you talk about the crawl, walk, and run strategy. Could you just elaborate and expand on that as well? Because I really love that and how in depth you go in within that specific topic.
Yeah, you see, if you crawl first and then walk and then then run, what you're able to do is analyze the clues first, then look for the patterns, and then be able to make the choices and take advantage of that movement in its own effectual statistical efficiency that's created. You see, if you're looking for clues first and you can distinguish patterns, then you're making better choices to maximize the efficiency, effectiveness, and statistical success. So I coach people to crawl, to look for clues, to walk, see the patterns, and then run when you're able to make the important decisions that are aligned with where you want to be or better.
Powerful, absolutely powerful. The fact that you've been in tech straight off the law school as well, you've seen, or we've actually seen, a variety of different industries just collapse. BlackBerry, MySpace, Nokia.
PC phone.
Yeah, so the reason I'm asking this, I've seen how vibrant you are and how much you're trending on social media. You always popping up on like my feed nonstop. My question is, how does one stay ahead of the curve? I know it's such a broad question, but like
it's
in
not.
Terms of like in a business sense, how do you stay ahead of the curve?
One, know your values. So for me, it's gratitude, forgiveness, accountability, and effective communication. Two, know your daily practices. I talk about 2 minutes a day worth more than 2 hours on a Saturday. So I start every day and I look for the meaning of the past, the lessons of the past, from the defining moments, setbacks, failures, mistakes, voids, shortages, obstacles, and successes. I'm constantly learning from the past to utilize it in the daily practices so I can determine what do I want today in the divine direction, in the divine time of where I think I want to be in the future, by learning from the past and taking into consideration the daily actual circumstances of weather, flat tires, you know, children, all the things that happen in real life, COVID, insurance, mortgage rates going up and down. So I ask myself, what do I want today considering both of those? Who can I help and who can help me? How can I best get that done today utilizing the 24 hours I'm given, and then prioritize accordingly? And then instead of searching for my why, I'm applying my why. Instead of searching for what's already there, I realize that I am, not this is what I want people to think I am. And when I say I am happy, I am healthy, I am wealthy, I am worthy. Not I'm gonna get more happy, more healthy, more wealthy, and more worthy. I am healthy, happy, wealthy, and worthy. What am I doing to interfere with it? The paradigm and perspective shift of understanding how we already are an abundant, infinite system of thought, unified by a love and protection and promotion of an omniscient, all-powerful source. All I got to do is figure out all day what I'm doing to interfere with it. So if you want to get to where you want to be, know your values, have the practices of what, who, how, and now, and apply your why, and you'll execute and aggregate, accelerate, and compound your outcomes exponentially. You will make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun.
Powerful, absolutely powerful. Second last question. We're almost done. We know we're short on time right now. What are the, like, an entrepreneur today feels so inadequate, they get easily discouraged compared to, like, you know, when you were starting from an entrepreneur to an entrepreneur. The question I have, what are those specific habits that we can start developing right now that can kind of like cut off and try and prevent us going through what you probably went through, the struggles?
Yeah, the biggest habit that you can have is to start learning on how you build habits. So I believe in creating a habit machine is the number one habit, so that you can change what you want to create a habit for by what's important to you. And the key or secret to habits is learning to love what you don't love, learning to love what you don't like. Learning to love what other people don't love, learning to love what other people don't like. You see, normally, if we have to try to create a habit, it's against our human nature or our genetic or ungenetic inheritance. So the hack is, if you can learn to love what you don't love, then you're able to do it what? You're able to do it with enjoyment, consistently every day, persistently without quit, in the pursuit of what you want, not what other people want, not what's missing, not what you don't have. Why is this so important? Because if you can learn to love what you don't love and what you don't like, and do it consistently, persistently in the pursuit of what you want, life will tell you all its secrets. And if life tells you all its secrets, you have all the cheat codes. It's like taking calculus and having the teacher's guide. What do you think your chances are of leveling up and passing the class? Pretty damn high. It's like me playing Fortnite with my son. If I don't have the cheat codes, he's gonna kick my butt. But if I have all the cheat codes, he has no chance of beating me. So everyone out there, learn to enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of your own potential by learning to love what you don't love, learning to love what you don't like, and doing that consistently. And I promise you, life will be easy, not dis-easy.
Now, as we approach the last question, I need to ask you three specific things.
Good.
You were in sports. I can't avoid asking this question. LeBron or Michael Jordan?
Well, you have to put it into a framework. LeBron in his own time versus Michael Jordan in his own time, I'll take Michael Jordan. But overall, LeBron James would kill Michael Jordan.
Well, he saved himself right there. Ronaldo or Messi?
Messi.
It's not going well. All right. You have a
chance. I love Messi.
You have a chance to redeem yourself
okay,
right now.
Okay, good.
Patrick
this is what makes
Mahomes
sports so good.
Or Tom Brady.
Oh, you're going to hate me more, Tom Brady.
Actually, I'm on Tom Brady.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Finish strong. All right. Love Tom Brady.
Now, the last question we always ask our viewers, because our podcast is called The Code to Winning, insights you need today to seize the world tomorrow. What is your definition of winning?
Kindness. Be kind to your future self. Do good deeds. Kindness is the secret. If you can be kind when nobody's looking, if you can be kind to people who attack you, if you can be kind to your future self, you will win. You will win because if you're kind, you are understanding what we're here for, to be of service and value to others. My name, right there, David Meltzer, that name right there means beloved servant. It's a reminder every day, my name, of why I'm here, to be kind. To be a beloved servant of other people, to elevate others, to elevate myself, to reaffirm and confirm to others the recollection, the remembrance, the reminder that we're all one, to appreciate our differences. So be a beloved servant, be kind, kind to your future self, do good deeds. I promise you, everything will come.
Awesome. And where can our viewers get a hold of you? Are you mostly on Instagram?
I'm everywhere. All so right. Google me, David Meltzer. DM me, David Meltzer. LinkedIn, YouTube, David Meltzer. Everywhere, David Meltzer. But what I'd really prefer, if you'd like to join my free Friday trainings, I've been doing those for over 24 years.
And I think Monday ones, right?
And then there's Monday networking, come to me. And of course, if you haven't got my book or The Power of 64 in the book, email me directly. I answer all my emails, david@dmeltzer.com. Google me, use that name, David Meltzer. Let me be your beloved servant. Thank you so much.
Great honor, sir. Thank you so much for being part of our interview as well. Thank you.